Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. It's Rocky LaFleur sitting in the Duck Side Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. Joining me out on the road. I guess you could call it Mobile Duck Side Studios. Josh Griswold, Spencer Halford.
What's up?
I rented the Mobile Duck Side Studios to y'all today.
That's right.
Rocky, I'm so proud. I'm so proud right now.
Please don't send me your phone bill.
No. I sprung for the, you know, unlimited data and long distance plan, so we're good. We're good there on the phone bill. But I'm proud because the Senatobia office of the Mississippi Department of Transportation and Highway Patrol has one less thing to worry about on a couple mile stretch of I-55.
You know what's so crazy about all this? All right, so yesterday, Chris Will, of course, sends in a group, finally got him, puts it on Duck South, but today when I wake up, I told Criswell yesterday, I said, look, we need to record about this bird's legendary. Every time I go somewhere, somebody knows podcast, they ask me about you, they ask about this turkey. So I get up this morning, and in my memories, it popped up on Facebook, but memories from 1 year ago, is it actually the first episode that we recorded all together? It was on a Monday last year, on Mondays with Rob. Both of y'all were here, and the birth to the public of I-55 was born 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
There's things that it's hard to – I don't even know where to begin. I'm just really proud of you, Josh. I do have a couple of questions. And then I want you to kind of tell me the story. But the first question is, so if you watch Josh's video, you know, he's smoking the cigar, which I think is very classy Dave Owen Penhody Project reference. And I'm mad respect for Dave Owen and mad respect for Josh Criswell. But what I want to know, Josh, is how long did you carry that dang cigar around in your vest before you got to actually light it up?
I literally bought the cigar because of the Penhody Project. I'm loving keeping up with that. If I smoke half the cigars Dave Owens has, good Lord, I'll be doing good. But
you'd have emphysema.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, I just bought them this year because I bought them, like I said, kind of in light of the after the old Penhody Project came out, and was going to do that. But I tell you, it opened up a whole new thing. And I, Dave's good at killing turkeys, and he's onto something with, you know, smoking the cigar too. How many times do you kill a turkey? You grab him up, you take a few pictures, and you head off to the office or head back to work. When's the last time you really sat there? After you killed a bird or whatever, and actually reflected on it, just sit there and thought about what just took place.
Dang right. And if we do it for 3 days when a good man dies, we should do it when a good turkey dies. No doubt about it.
You doggone, I mean, how many times have you really sat there and just soaked in the moment, so to speak? I mean, we're all in such a rush to get back. I got to get back to work. I got to do this. Just sit back and enjoy it for a little while. You ain't got to smoke a cigar or do whatever your thing is, but just sit back and enjoy it for a little while.
Yep. You got all my support. I'm just impressed you had the lighter and the cigar and the time to celebrate that turkey, because there's not one that deserves it any more than that one. All right, so if that's my first question, here's my second question, Josh. Which gun did you shoot him with?
All right, so I'm in awe. Pat Pitt told me a long time ago, right after I first met him, I went to meet him for something during duck season. And I didn't have my gun with me. And he said, you always have your gun. You always have your clothes when it's hunting season, because you never know when an invite's going to get offered or when you're going to need to go hunting. So I kind of live by that now. If it's turkey season, I'm in my truck. At a moment's notice, I can go turkey hunting. I've got everything in my truck I need to go turkey hunting. And yesterday was kind of one of those just opportunities I had. And just had to jump out of the truck and go. So I shot him with my 12 gauge. I shot him with the Benelli. I wanted to kill him with my 12,
yes!
But it didn't work out. But I shot him with my 12 gauge.
I was so hoping that's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Bent barrel and 12 misses and all.
Yes. No. You forgot the whole thing about last year. I sold the gun I missed him with last year. I bought a new gun. If this is the Monday anniversary of me missing that bird two times in a row, then that means tomorrow would be the day that I went to Hunter's Hollow in Oxford and bought a new Benelli.
Okay. All right. Well, I knew you bought that special purpose pump. The one that already has like a 75 yard kill under its belt of a unnamed predator. But I didn't realize that you, I guess I forgot you bought that SV3.
Let me ask y'all this, because this is both of y'all. This has kind of been a running joke with the I-55 Turkey for a while now.
Let's clarify something for just a second. Josh can verify this. I have never given Josh hell about that turkey, ever. All of our buddies give him hell about it. I sat there and watched that grown man hurt as that turkey walked away, and I just sat there and was kind of like, wished I could crawl under a root ball or something to get out of the way. I will never give a man hell about missing a turkey. No, not me.
Hey, Josh, let me ask you this. Did you ever cover up any misses in this?
No.
I didn't tell people?
I didn't, and that's like, we're in a group text. I'm in a group text with Spence and two guys from Alabama and a guy from Tennessee. And, I mean, everybody in that group text is, like, a legit killer. I mean, there's a lot of turkeys that died as a result of that group text. And I told them last year, I was like, I don't even know why I'm telling y'all this. I should just keep it to myself. I have no
idea why
I feel compelled to tell you.
That's why I couldn't give him a hard time. It hurt too much. I mean, you know, now Kroon can give him a hard time, and Ian can give him a hard time, and all the rest of them give him hell, but no, not me. I was there was that the very first time you missed him?
Spence has on video the very first time he was ever missed.
Really?
Yes. But it can't be aired Like, they would have to censor that video on pay-per-view.
I actually have it on two camera angles. I videoed it with the big camera, and I had a Tacticam down in the sitting on the ground videoing Josh, and the Tacticam footage is world class. Josh turns, wheels around, and looks at me with this just dumbfounded look, and he just goes, "What just happened?" And I was like, I don't know. You tell me. He goes, "I just freaking missed him three times." And I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say." He just proceeded to go into this. I mean, there's some songbirds that don't chirp anymore in the springtime because of the things that Josh said that morning. and every miss after that just became more and more painful. So, just for clarification, I've never given Josh a hard time about missing that bird. I'm too worried karma will come back and slap me in the back of the head. So,
yeah, I'd be the same way.
He really hadn't. He really hadn't ever given me a hard time. But you know, I was counting up the misses this morning, and it's kind of woof.
Are you in double digits?
I'm in double digits shell wise. Yeah.
Hey, Josh, before we get into the kill, tell about a couple of those interesting stories when it comes to misses like that with Spence.
Well, all right, so I guess the back story would have to be, it all started the year before I missed him with Spence. And when I tell you the story in a little bit of where this turkey lived at, this will make a whole lot more sense, because this is like a 60-acre block of pine trees surrounded by ag fields and then the interstate. So, I mean, the birds, he's going to be in there. But it all started the year before that, right at the end of the season. I took Ryan Basham down there, and he had just moved here, didn't really have anywhere to go hunting, and we had just picked up that property. And so I took him down there, and, man, we called that bird, and I'm probably the reason that bird was so smart because of that hunt, because it was one of those fun hunts where he was gobbling at everything, and boy, you're just calling to him, and he's gobbling and answering and walking, closing the distance every gobble. So, you know, I definitely overcalled him, but I watched that bird that day walk 60 yards from us, and he was walking up the logging road, and I swear it looked like he had a human thought, and he just thought, man, something ain't right about this. And he shut up and turned around and walked off. Never seen anything, never spooked. He just shut up and turned around and walked off after gobbling probably 50 to 60 times as he was coming to us. So fast forward, and I didn't hunt him again that year because I was technically done in Mississippi, and I couldn't hunt anymore. But I watched him. And this place is, like I said, it's 60 acres of plantation pine trees, typical, Mississippi pine trees. But it's got a little vein of hardwoods that runs through it with three creeks. And this big, giant oak tree kind of sits right in between all of these creeks where they all meet at.
It looks about like the Mossy Oak logo. It sits up on a little knob, and it's like the most pretty. I mean, it's the most picture-perfect oak tree you've ever seen in your entire life. Like, it's a little mushroom up top, this perfect trunk. I mean, it's where you'd sleep if you were a turkey.
I guarantee you, because like I said, I mean, this place isn't but like 60, 65 acres, and he's roosting pretty much dead center of it. And, you know, it seems like it would be easy. You know, you've got him narrowed down to 60 acres, but I'm going to tell you, man, on the roost, especially this time of year, you're not getting anywhere close to him because he can see dang near the whole 60 acres from that oak tree.
I think he can see where you parked your truck.
Yeah, he can literally see where you parked your truck at. So we go with Spence that morning. I call Spence and I'm like, man, I've been watching this bird, and Spence like, man, I'm gonna come down and get this on video. So
You had him nailed down that year too. I mean, you knew where he was. You knew within 3 feet where he was hitting the ground every morning and where he was coming.
I mean,
I went in there in the pitch black dark,
and drank a thermos of coffee waiting on it to get light and watch him fly down. I mean, it was, you had him dialed in.
Spitz, did you have any idea at that moment the heaviness of the moment that you were living in the future?
No. I mean, you never want to see somebody miss one, but, I mean, at the same time, I mean, I've known Josh well enough and watched Josh kill enough turkeys that when Josh said, I got this one, you know, dialed in and he's going to die tomorrow morning, like, we'll have breakfast. I mean, I didn't even tell anybody at the office that I wasn't coming in because I figured I'd be there by the time they got the first pot of coffee hot. You know, I mean, I just figured it was over.
That is a great point, because if there's anybody that's hunted with Criswell enough, it's you. And I want everybody listening to this podcast, because this is coming from a first-person source, second-person source, hunting with Criswell for a long time. He is a freaking killer, is he not?
Yeah, I mean, he is. No doubt.
Well, I mean, I don't know about, look, I don't know about being a killer. I mean, there's a lot of killers out there. I know a lot of killers, but I don't know if I would put myself in the category with a whole lot of them. But I've had a streak. I will say this. I've had a streak. And this turkey broke it last year's, which is what really made it personal. I always kill a turkey opening day because I always spend time patterning birds, watching birds, and I always put myself in one's way opening day. I usually have two or three birds lined up, and if the first one don't work out, I can go on or so on, which is what happened the year that Spence came down and videoed me.
So yeah, Spence, he went straight out and killed the one in the pasture.
I missed that bird opening morning. And that morning, and Spence was, you know, he had to get back to the office, and I was like, man, I'm fixing to go behind the house and kill a bird. And I don't think Spence
actually that was going to be Tyler's bird, wasn't it?
I mean,
I'm pretty sure the text message you sent was, I'm real sorry about this, Tyler, but you know, this one had to pay the price of the other one.
Yeah. So I go out and I kill a bird that opening morning. And after Spence leaves, and I think I sent Spence a text before he even got back to the clinic that bird was dead.
You did.
All right.
You did.
So now I killed Hunter's bird. All right. So now I got to find Hunter another bird. All right. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I can get Hunter. And by the way, Hunter had already killed one opening day of youth weekend, but I wanted to get him another one. So now I'm thinking that I can get Hunter back on this I-55 bird, which I hadn't started calling the I-55 bird yet because I'd only missed him at once at that point, or three times. So I get Hunter, and I tell Hunter, I said, we're going to go hunt this bird I missed. And this was 3-4 days later. And get back down there, and I was like, well, I'm not going to go sit where me and Spencer sit because he's pretty wise to that. And he spooked off a decoy, so I'm not going to put it there. He kind of hung up. He didn't spook off the decoy, but he hung up. This was a very non-confrontational bird. If he seen a decoy, he was walking the other way. He wasn't going to kill him with a decoy. So I took Hunter back down there, and we kind of slipped around on the backside, got into position. And he gobbled on roost a lot that morning. And I was real surprised because this bird never gobbled much at all. And you had to really be close to him to hear him gobble anyway. Because, I mean, when I say you're right by the interstate, you are right beside the interstate.
Yeah, like you, your worst nightmare was that somebody was driving on the rumble strips. I mean.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I literally, he has gobbled to folks hitting the rumble strips before. So, I mean, that's how close we are to the interstate. So I carry Hunter in there, and man, the bird works perfect. I mean, he works just absolutely perfect until he gets to about 50 yards. He gets to about 50 yards. He pulled his same old trick. He kind of quit gobbling. And I'd never seen him. I could just tell he was 50 or 60 yards through the woods gobbling. And then he got quiet. I never heard him. Well, lo and behold, Hunter's sitting on my left. He does what turkeys do, what you don't want them to do, but what they always end up doing is he comes around and flanks me on my right side. Well, so Hunter had no shot. So I told Hunter, I was like, I'm going to try to kill him. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, kill him. So I spin around and get on him. I spin around and get on him without him seeing me, which is a miracle. And he's sitting there at 40 yards, and I run it to the plug and miss him three times. So now
so
we're
at this
up to
point. Hold on. Yeah, we're in. We have a confrontation with Bass Am. You miss him three times with Spence, and now you've missed him three more. So that's six.
That's six times, yes, sir. And what made it worse is, you know, man, it's one thing for your friends to see you mess up, but you don't want your kids to see you mess up. So my kid's sitting there giving me a hard time because he's never
missed. Let me cut in right here. If you think Hunter and Tyler, Chris, are going to give you any slack about anything, you're crazy. Them two, you're talking about Hunter keeps score on the underneath side of his cap with little turkey tracks. I mean, he is savage and ruthless. Them boys,
wow.
There's zero slack given. And that's when I started to feel bad because, you know, from there it started. We started getting screenshots of Hunter saying things like, you know, Dad, do I need to come kill that turkey for you? And things like that.
Look, he's at the point, Rocky, he's in school. And, you know, kids nowadays, they take their phones to school. So he would know when I was going hunting, you know, in the morning time. And he would text me from school, hey, you missed anything today?
oh, my gosh.
You know, it just gives me a hard time. I mean, he's going to be hard to control when he gets his driver's license. I'll probably have to give Game and Fish a GPS tracker to put on his truck. But so he's giving me a hard time now. So I hunt this bird the rest of the year. I hunt this bird within 50 yards probably three or four more times that year, but he never offers me a shot. So I don't miss him again that year. All right. So I'll try to speed this up a little bit. We fast forward to last year, opening day. And this is one of the funniest parts. This is where Ian, a buddy of mine, Ian, he said one of the funniest things in the group text that I've ever seen. But I was watching him again, and, you know, I sent the guys a text message. I was like, man, I've been watching this bird for 3 days, and, you know, he's doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing every day. I'm going to be on him. Opening day for sure. And so Ian replies back with something to the effect of, yeah, he said, I bet that turkey's up there talking to him. He is talking about, man, that guy's back doing the same thing he was doing last year. So anyway, last year he was, he had a ton of hens with him last year. He didn't have near as many the year before, and he didn't have as many this year, but he had probably, I don't know, 15 or 20 hens with him last year. And like I said, he was a very non-confrontational bird. So the jakes would be strutting. And because he had jakes and hens running with him, the jakes would be strutting. And he would never strut. He'd never tried to fight a jake or anything like that. So he was just kind of doing his own thing. Well, anyway, long story short, I get set up last year opening day. And sure enough, I mean, just like clockwork, here come all the hens. And I never even called at him. I mean, I was that confident of what he was going to do. I was just going to deer hunt this bird and kill him, as much as I hate hunting a bird like that. I mean, I was kind of – it was getting on my nerves by then, and he needed to die. So he walks 15, 20 yards from me. All right, probably 10 or 15 yards if we're going to be honest. And I missed the bird four times opening morning last year. Four times.
Mind you, at this point, Josh has been introduced to the fact that you don't have to have a plug in your gun. So now you went from three bullets to four.
Yes. I mean, let's face it too, man. That's about $40 right there. So,
folks, we're into double digits now.
We're in the
dark. Wait a minute. You got to tell what happened after you missed.
That was the afternoon. I'm getting to that. That was when I missed him that afternoon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I get there. I think that was that afternoon. I'm pretty sure it was. So, anyway, so now I'm ignoring my backup plan. I'm like, all right, I know where this bird roosts at, and I've never been in on his roost. I've never encroached on his roost because I wanted him to stay there. I said, but I'm going to sit on his roost tree this afternoon, and I'm waiting on him to come back, and I'm killing him. He's going to come back to his roost tree this afternoon, and I'm going to kill him when he comes back to his roost tree. So, sure enough, I go back, and I sit on his roost tree, and 30 minutes before dark, here comes a redhead through the woods. I mean, walking straight to me, maybe 45 minutes before dark. He gets 20 yards. I missed four more times. Four more times, 20 yards. I mean, I haven't cut a feather yet. And we're
Have you thought about just going for body shots at this point?
I should have. I should have body shot him. And I mean, after the first shot, I was just aiming at whatever. I took whatever I could have got. I mean, I could have broke him down and run out there and form tackled him for all I cared. I was just shooting at him after that. So anyway, I am completely, I miss him. He flies back over my head behind me. I'm completely out of shells. Okay.
I thought you dug for your one backup.
I don't think I had a backup.
Did you not take one shot at him on the limb afterwards, or did he just stand there and look at you?
No, he stood there and looked at me. I was out.
Oh, okay.
I was out of shell. He run, like, I was walking out. I didn't have a bullet. Didn't have anything. I mean, I'm kind of glad I didn't have a bullet, to be honest with you, because I was pretty upset with myself. So I'm walking out, and Rocky, he literally walks across the road 25 yards from me, sees me, and kind of spooks a little bit, but not a whole lot, as if, you know, he really didn't have anything to worry about at this point, and flies up in another tree, and literally, I could have shot him out of the tree. It was still plenty enough day. I could have shot him out of the tree at 35 yards, but I'm completely out of bullets.
Oh, my God.
So I missed him eight times last year, opening day.
All right, so we're up to 14, right? Are we up to 14? 14 or 18?
We're up to 14.
14.
We're up to 14 shots.
Wow.
So we go through the year last year, and, man, I hunted him so flipping hard. It was unreal. And I had him close. I had him... But it just never worked out where I got another shot at him last year.
But I want people to understand, you still killed three Easterns just last year, right?
I killed two last year. I only killed two last year.
This bird has put a pretty wicked voodoo curse on Josh. I mean, you're talking about a guy who routinely shoots all his Mississippi birds and then goes on a road trip or two and, you know, makes a pile. So he's suffered for almost 3 years now, you know.
Well, hey, look, when I said that earlier, listen, I wasn't trying to, man, Grizzle's a killer. I wasn't trying to say that. Look, to be a great turkey hunter, you've got to be a great outdoorsman. You got to be a great woodsman, not outdoorsman. You've got to understand those patterns that the turkeys are making.
You really do. I mean, turkey, that's one thing I really like about turkey hunting is the game it is. It's kind of a chess match, you know. It's because they're not smart. I mean, let's just face it. They're not smart. They're just scared. They're absolutely petrified of everything in the woods. I mean, because everything's trying to eat them from the time they're laid as an egg until the time they die. There's something trying to kill them. So now the podcast comes out about the bird. And, you know, all my buddies knew about it beforehand, but I literally get messages, and, you know, I'm in the group chat with a bunch of the guys off the Duck South, and all through deer season. I mean, I think I sent a couple of pictures of the bird during deer season. I mean, he roosts in the same tree year-round.
And let me interject right here, because I'm going to circle back to this when we're done. But for just a second, the only thing that happened more than Josh missed was how many people suggested that Josh put on a pair of thick wool socks and walk in there in the dark and wait till that turkey opened his eyes and shoot him in the booty hole. I mean, you cannot imagine how many times just limb him to death just, you know, got suggested in these group messages. Like, I mean, it was constant. It was Josh. Just shake it off, man. That one just needs to die from, you know, he needs to die from falling down and hitting his head on all them limbs on the way down.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, and to be honest, I probably could have done that. I mean, I probably could have done that and ended it a whole lot sooner than what it ended. But it really wouldn't have the same. It was kind of personal at this point. Like, you're going to die, and you're going to die on my terms, not on yours, or not on anybody else's. It's going to be on my terms. And so all through deer season. I sent a picture of him to a couple people. As, I mean, he walked 30 yards from the deer stand. And, you know, and then I got the question, if you ever thought about shooting him out of season with a rifle. Well, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thought about it. Because, you know, we kind of had a love-hate relationship. But I thought about doing a lot of things, but you really, you know, your morals, you know, you've got to have some moral. So,
right.
So, yes, I did think about that. And so I watched him all through deer season again. Well, now we're into this year. And, man, I was absolutely petrified because this piece of pretty high ground. But as both of you know, we got an insane amount of rain this year. And as I mentioned earlier, this bird roosts right where three smaller creeks kind of meet a big creek. Okay? And the rain has nowhere to go. So all of these creeks are backed up. And the shallowest one is probably waist deep at the shallowest place I can cross it. And some of them, I mean, I would literally have to swim across. I mean, they're not wide, but they're too wide for me to jump. So I was kind of hesitant about hunting him because, first off, I was determined this year I was going to get him. I mean, I was determined last year, too, but I was really determined I wanted that bird this year, and I wasn't going to pressure him. I wasn't going to give him any reason to suspect I was there and go quiet or go do whatever, you know, turkeys do when you put a lot of pressure on them. So I kind of held off hunting him because depending on which one of those three creeks he flew down in between, there was no possible way I could get to him. And, you know, folks are like, why don't you carry a boat? Okay, well, a boat's only good for one of those creeks. Then I'm going to have to drag it 75 yards. And then he'll be on the other side of the creek, so I'll have to drag it another, you know. So, I mean, a boat was out of the question. I just kind of had to wait for the water to go down. Well, I went and hunted him. I can't remember what afternoon it was, but the first time I hunted him, it was an afternoon. And I seen all the hens out in the field. I don't have permission to hunt this field, and this is where all the birds go when they fly down. And it's kind of got a little wood lot in it, and they'll go hang out in there. But I can watch it from the road with a spotting scope. And so I watched it, and there were hens all out in there. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, well, he's close. And as I mentioned to Spence earlier, and I think I said it earlier, this bird did not like to be called to a lot. I mean, he really didn't want much at all. So I slipped in there that afternoon, and, you know, I gave a few little soft clucks and just a few little kikis, and lo and behold, a bird gobbled. And you got the interstate there, so I couldn't really tell the direction he was. I couldn't really tell how far he was, so I just sat down. And I didn't make a call after he gobbled at me. I didn't make a call for probably 15 or 20 minutes after I sat down. And this was about a week ago, I guess, 4 or 5 days ago. But I'm sitting there, and finally I give a few more little real soft clucks, just as soft as I can possibly do it on the mouth call, and gobbles again. And I can tell this time, you know, 50 yards, 60 yards tops. So I get completely quiet. I get completely still. I don't make a sound. I'm going to play him. And sure enough, here comes a red head through the woods. And got to probably 40 yards, and I had a pretty good shot from the neck up, but I decided not to take it, and because he was walking towards a clearing. And, you know, as long as he's getting closer, why would you shoot him? So he steps into the clearing, right when I popped the safety off, he steps into the clearing good. And, man, it was one of those doggone shakes. So thank goodness I didn't shoot when I could have at 40 yards because, I mean, he was gobbling like a grown man. So anyway, 555 bird never showed that afternoon. I hunted again one morning, and he flew down a completely different way than I thought he was going to go, and there was no time, no way for me to get around on him. So I kind of gave up that day real early and got to work. And I'd actually planned on hunting yesterday morning. I told the wife because my kids, actually, they go to the gym every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so I don't have to carry them to school. They go to the gym and work out before school. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get up in the morning and go hunting. Well, I got up, and it was just, I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it. I think we've all had those mornings. I just wasn't feeling like going. I just didn't feel like going turkey hunting, to be honest with you. I was tired. We've been playing ball tournaments all weekend. And so I just told my wife, I said, I'm just going to go feed the cows this morning and go down to the farm, feed the cows this morning so I don't have to do it on my lunch break. And, you know, I got to get ready for this road trip I'm going on, get everything ready for it, going out of town. So I leave the house, and I go down, and I feed the cows. And on the way back from feeding the cows, I was like, you know what, I'm going to run by there and just see if he's out in that field before I go back to work. This is like 8:15, 8:30. I'm going to go back and just check him and see. And so I head down there, and lo and behold, the hens are back in the same spot they were the afternoon that I called the Jacob. And I was like, man, he's not with them. He's got to be close. He's got to be. So this all plays back into having everything in your truck ready to go. So I was like, man, I'm going to give him at least 30 minutes. I got to go see if I can, you know, see if I can strike him up, see what he's doing. So I already had my place picked out in my head I was going to walk to try to call from. And so I threw all my stuff on, and I start walking that way. And for whatever reason, he gobbled on his own. And I don't know what he gobbled at, have no clue what it was, but he gobbled on his own. And thankfully, he gobbled from the exact spot that I had picked out in my head to walk to sit down and call. I mean, like, we're talking about 60 acres here, so I know pretty much every tree on the place by now. I mean, I know what tree I'm going to walk to call to. I know what tree I'm going to sit on. But he caught me off guard, and like I said, he gobbled at the spot I was going to walk to, so it's probably 150 yards, maybe. So it's like, wow, now what? Because I really don't know where to set up. I don't have a good spot to set up, to be honest with you. I'm in a place where we cleared all the underbrush out from under the pines, and the pines aren't big enough yet to really hide you well. So, but it was either sit down or spook him. So I sat down, and like I said, he don't like to hear much. So again, we was playing the, you know, clucks and a few little tee-kees and just maybe a little three-note half-hearted yelp. I kind of wanted him to think he heard a turkey, not know that he heard one. You know what I mean? That old saying. I wanted him to not quite be sure what he heard. So he gobbles, and the whole time he's coming, which seems like it took 3.5 years, I'm thinking it's going to be that Jake again. And again, he gets to about 40, 45 yards, and I could see the red head coming. I was like, man, do I shoot, do I shoot, do I shoot? And I don't, thankfully, because I'd have probably missed at that distance. Because that's all I'm thinking about in my head now is, God, don't miss this turkey, don't miss this turkey, don't miss this turkey. Well, man, he reads the script. I mean, he came in beautiful, and he pops out in the opening at like 25 yards where I can see him really well. Could absolutely be for sure that it was him. And it kind of went to slow motion after that. All I was thinking, like I said, was don't miss. And I took my time like I've never took my time on a shot before. And I was running through my head, you know, keep your cheek on your shotgun. Because that, you know, when you miss 90% of the time, that's why you miss, because you pulled your head up. But, man, I shot. And I'm going to tell you, when that turkey started flopping, it was it was the best feeling and the worst feeling that ever came over me at the same time. Because I was like, well, you know, now it's over. Thankfully, but also regretfully, because now what? You know, this is, he's consumed 3 years of my life now, and now I don't get to chase him anymore. That guy, I tell you, it's an overused quote, but it's the truest thing that's ever been written, I think, about turkey hunting. It's what Ben Lee said, because, you know, I really wish that I could bring him back to life and hunt him again tomorrow.
Yeah,
golly, I had fun chasing. I mean, it was a nightmare, but it was so much fun. And anything, you know, anything you can add a story to, you know, is fun. Adds a little bit more to it. You know, we all like those birds when you get out of the truck and yelp three times and they run to you and die. But with one like a story like that, it's really, I mean, it's a special bird. There's no other way to put it. And he was a good bird. Go ahead, Spence.
Let me interject for just a second, Rocky, because there's going to be people listening to this, and I've been saying this for a while now, but turkey hunting's catching on in popularity. There's a lot of people turkey hunting this year. You can see it all across social media that have not been turkey hunting more than a year or two. It's kind of like the new thing. You know, it's spring, let's go turkey hunting. And that was not the case 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago. Turkey hunting was kind of a closed niche little group of weird folks that, you know, like a cult, as Tom Kelly called it. And so I'm glad that there's more people turkey hunting. Okay, I want to say that on the front end. This comment is not meant to be negative towards new folks in turkey hunting. I'm glad that there's lots of new hunters. But here's what I want to say. There's something special about a standard that's self-imposed and being true to that standard. There's nothing in the world that is as personally satisfying as laying the rules down and then playing by the rules. And the only thing I can think of off the top of my head to relate it to, it's a little bit like golf. You can go to the driving range and you can hit a bucket of balls with your driver, and 80% of them can look good, you know, off that fake tee and off that fake grass. And that's completely different than playing the course and making a birdie on every hole and not ever touching your ball. Like, I don't have that with golf. But my point is, it's turkey hunting is such an individualized sport. And so for the new folks, and for the old folks, like, don't miss the satisfaction that comes from playing by the rules, whatever your rules are, because it would have been real easy for Josh to cheapen that turkey. He could have killed that turkey a million different ways, you know, with a rifle, off the limb. I mean, turkeys get dumb when it gets dark, you know, and they don't go nowhere. And so Josh knows plenty of people with coon lights, and that turkey sits still, and, you know, there's lots of ways, legal and illegal, to make sure that turkey dies. And just make sure, if you're a new turkey hunter, don't bend the rules just for that moment of you know, insta fame with a dead turkey. Like, do it your way, learn what's challenging, and then, you know, commit to being a student of that bird and of that situation. And that's, I mean, ultimately, Josh, I gotta tell you, that's why I'm proud of you, because I mean, geez, man, we've all been there. I have. And it sure does get tempting to bend those rules. And, man, you stuck by your guns. And every time we said, go shoot him off the limb, Josh, just, you know, he's got a curse on you. Just get it over with. You were like, nope, nope, nope. So I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, I mean, hunt your way. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what if it makes you happy to kill them, however, just hunt your way and have fun. I don't think there's a wrong way to do it. That's just, I just killed him the way I preferred to do it. I mean, it doesn't make
that's
it the right way.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm getting at is like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, I got opinions, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's wrong to hunt over a decoy or it's wrong to hunt out of a pop-up blind or it's wrong to whatever. I mean, if it's legal and you're good with it, then go for it. What I'm saying
absolutely.
Is that when you decide how you yourself are going to turkey hunt, when you decide that and you start down that road and one of them beats you, don't cheapen that bird by bending your own rules. Whatever your own rules are, set your own rules and stick to them and be a better you instead of cheapening that bird and killing him, you know, some other which way just to mark him off the list and go on ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. And you're going to get beat. I'm going to get beat again. I mean, if you turkey hunt, I mean, and you haven't been beat yet, just wait. It's coming. I mean,
you probably actually been beaten, just don't even know it.
Yeah, you've probably been beaten, exactly. But, I mean, you know, and that goes back again. I mean, just enjoy it. And, man, that goes back to what I was saying. I mean, there was folks giving me grief about, you know, smoking the cigar and copying Dave Owens. And, man, first off, if I can copy any human being in the turkey woods, it would be Dave Owens, because that guy, you want to talk about a killer, that guy right there.
Doing it right.
He's doing
dang
it right.
Right.
He's doing it his way. He's not conforming to what anybody thinks. He's showing you the ones that beat him. And I mm-hmm. promise you, if you listen to that man on a turkey call and you can watch him get beat, it'll make you feel a little bit better about getting beat. But
yep.
The whole thing about smoking the cigar is like, man, I know in the last 3 years, I've gotten overwhelmed and just been busy. And, you know, you get a chance to hunt, you just run out there, you kill a bird, you take a few grip and grin pictures, you run back to the house and clean him, and you're back working. Man, I'm going to tell you, smoking that cigar, I'm going to find something. I may not copy Dave completely, but I'm going to find something to do for a few minutes that'll make me sit there and kind of enjoy the time, because that was really neat yesterday. That old, not the cigar, but just sitting there and kind of enjoying the moment instead of just, hey, I'm going to take a few pictures, send it to my friends, and, you know, go back to work.
Yep.
Just slowing down a little
proud.
Bit. And that's
proud
the cool
of you,
thing about turkey hunting. You can go as slow or as fast as you want. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll end this episode by saying this, man. The legend of you and that turkey. Man, listen. Thank you for letting me be a little small part of it, because, man, what a great series. If that kill would have been on camera, I always think about what could have been as far as video. Man, what a awesome story, because so many people know about you and that turkey.
And
man,
you know,
thank
man,
you.
And a lot of people, yeah, nope, I enjoyed it. And a lot of people, you know, talk about, like Spence talked about, killing my way. And I thought about getting Spence to lend me Dylan, and I know he would have in a heartbeat, to lend me Dylan or lend me Dawson, and let me get that on video. But that goes back, and I really didn't want it on video. I kind of wanted it.
Yeah.
I kind of
a little bit.
I wanted it. Me and him, you know.
Yep. It's a little
right.
bit like your love life, you know. Just some
yeah.
parts of it need the bedroom door closed.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah,
say this,
I mean,
from everybody at Duck South, though, Josh, thank you for letting us all just be a little part of it.
I hope,
man,
everybody,
it's been a great
laugh.
Story.
I hope you feel. I hope everybody feels better if they missed one, because that bird. I mean, I kept PSS in business for a while,
Well, Josh, thank you again.
Yeah,
man. Like I said, thank you for letting us all be a part of it. Spence, thank you for taking time out of your day to be a part of this. Help me co-host.
Yeah, man.
Be a part of it. But thank you all for being a part of this edition of the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.